Let's just jump in here. I've got some things that are working in me. And tonight, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the peace thief. The peace thief. So turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Been a while since we've talked about this, and the book that I wrote on this is actually, it was about 9 years or so ago. So it's been a while. Sometimes we need to stir these things up again, don't we? So let's go to John chapter 10 and look here in verse 10. John 10:10. We all should know this verse. It says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life." You know, all of us at one time or another have been very well acquainted with stress and very well acquainted with pressures and things of this life that go on, right? Am I the only one that's done that? Some of us are all too familiar with these things. In the natural, our daily lives have become so stressful. They're very pressure-oriented. Amen? You ever feel like you're just being driven a lot of times? Amen? And, you know, sometimes it can just get to the point where it just isn't fun anymore. Right? You know, you need to remember this, that the Lord will always lead us with peace. The enemy will always do his best to pressure you with stress, fear, you know, all of these other things, right? Stress and pressure, they are of the enemy, right? They are of the enemy. And he likes to use these things just by things that are going on in our everyday life to steal from us, to steal our joy, right? Steal our health. Amen. Steal relationships. You know, it is never ever the will of God for any of us to be stressed out. We need to be peaced in. Amen. In peace instead of stressed out. Right? Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to read this in verse 6 and 7 from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 9. And this is usually a scripture that we will read a lot at, you know, during the holiday season, Christmas time and all of that. But I want us to read it tonight. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." But then it says, what? Prince of Peace. I love that. Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Notice that. Amen. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Well, I just love that. But notice here, it says that unto us a child is born, and then he went on to describe that this child is to be the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince. He is the one that is governing, the one that is in charge, so to speak, right? Of peace. And we know that this word translated peace here, the Prince of Peace, this peace that's translated here is actually shalom, which we all know that, right? And we will find shalom actually that's used 236 different times in Scripture in one variation or another. And shalom simply means this. It means to be. It means peace, which is translated there. It means good welfare. It means prosperity. It means safety. It means health. It means to be complete with nothing missing and nothing broken. It means soundness. Amen. Soundness. Our minds need to be sound, right? Our bodies need to be sound. Amen? It means contentment. It means tranquility. All of these meanings are wrapped up into this one word, peace. So Jesus then is the Prince of all of these things. Amen. And very often this is used, the Prince of Peace or shalom, peace, this is used in conjunction with this, in regards to having peace in friendships, peace in relationships, both with God and with man. You know, the enemy would like to come and to steal peace in your relationships.
That's right.
Amen. And this also means, and it's used a lot of times in conjunction with this, regarding covenant friendships or covenant relationships. And it also is used in conjunction with meaning peace from war. Peace from war. You ever feel like you're just in a war? Amen. Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The victory has already been won. Amen. Now, the Word of God is a word of peace, is it not? It is a word of peace. It produces peace in our hearts, and it produces peace in the lives of those that honor and revere the Word, that work the Word, that put the Word first. So let's look over at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Some of these scriptures you're not going to find in the book. These are some new ones. This is the revised and updated version. Proverbs chapter 1. And in verse 33, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, "But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm." Oh, that's a wonderful scripture right there. That's a scripture that you can stand on. Amen. All who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Amen. So the key here is what? Listening to him. And by listening to him, we will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. See, when we are in peace, then fear of harm does not trouble us whatsoever. There is no fear. Amen. And so the peace thief comes in to steal our peace, right? And when peace is stolen, we actually fear harm. Amen. Being harmed in one way or another, whether it be a relationship being harmed, whether it be something being harmed in your body or peace in your mind, whatever the case, that's harm, right? Amen. Now look over at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And this is a big one. So we need to go to verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. New Living Translation. I love the way it puts this. It says, "Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble." Wow. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. So what's the key to not stumbling? Loving his instructions. And by loving his instructions, it produces what? Great peace. There's security in that. The instruction of the Lord, the word of God, it produces a security in us. Amen? Peace in us. Now, the Amplified puts it this way. It says, "Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble." Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Amen. I put it to you this way in years past, and we'll say it again tonight. Whenever we find ourselves in the position of being offended and peace being robbed, amen, even towards somebody, then does that mean that we don't love his instruction, we don't love his word? Well, actually it is, because we're not putting his word first. Amen? See, when you love the Word, when you honor His Word, when you put the Word first, no matter what happens, because you're choosing to live and walk in love, and you live your life governed by the Word, the Prince of Peace Himself, then there is absolutely nothing that anybody could ever do, amen, to offend you. You'll have opportunities to be offended. They'll be there, right? They always come. But it doesn't mean that we have to, entertain those opportunities and yield ourselves to those opportunities and play into the devil's trap. Beware of the peace thief. Amen. I love the word. Amen. I love the word. Great peace is mine. As long as I love the word, nothing will cause me to be offended. Nothing will cause me to stumble. I love the word. Amen. See, this helps us keep things in check. Does it not? Amen. Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Now, each of us, we all have different positions and different responsibilities in life, various careers, right? Different things that we do in those careers. You know, some professions tend to be a little bit more stressful than others. However, in the day and time in which we live, when you begin to think about this, an ordinary housewife, amen? An ordinary housewife can be under as much stress and pressure at home, right? Because of the day and the time in which we live as a CEO of a company. Amen. Because the enemy is no respecter of persons. He really isn't. We need to be mindful of these things. Amen. I've heard this story before in years past, but this is something that's always stuck out to me because the Lord spoke to me in this. And I was watching a movie one time. Actually, I was getting ready to, I was at a conference, I think we were in Kona, and I was in the hotel there in Kona. And this was several years ago, probably 10 or 11 years ago, maybe even longer than that. And actually, it was longer than that. And there in the hotel room, had some extra time on my hands, you know, by myself. And so I happened, to go through the TV thing, and I found this movie, and I watched this movie on television. And this movie just struck me because it aroused my curiosity because it had to deal with, military and presidential stuff. And this was all regarding the Cuban Missile Crisis that occurred in 1962. Well, that was before I was born. John was born by that time, but that was before I was born. But the United States was on the brink of nuclear war with the Russians, and the president of the United States at that time was who? John F. Kennedy, JFK. Kennedy was the president at that time. And this movie then portrayed all of the events that were going on in the world that were leading up to this crisis and everything that this crisis entailed. And the president was under such a tremendous amount of stress and pressure, amen, that was going on during that particular time. And it was like, everybody had one finger on the button and we were just ready to do some things here. It was a pretty hairy situation. Amen. And I guess if you really got down to it and begin to think about it, just being in that office alone, office of the president, that could be a very, stressful situation. We may not agree with all of the policy, especially the current administration and all of these things that go on in the government, right? But the bottom line is, that is a position that could be very stressful. Yeah. You notice a lot of these guys, when they go in there, their hair is all dark. When they come out, it's white. Yeah. Or none. Yeah? Gee, I wonder why. Amen. All of the decisions, that the president has to make on a daily basis and all of these things, they could tend to be quite stressful when you think about that, right? Amen. It's not just your own personal life that, he's dealing with and these decisions that he has to make that affects. It affects people all over the world. Actually, the entire world when you begin to think about it. Right? And, on a personal note, we need to think about this and realize the potential stresses and pressures that each of us have. And I can even relate to this even as pastor. My goodness. I'm not the president, but I believe that my position is actually better than the president's. I believe if I was ever the president of the United States, that would be a demotion. Yeah. Really do. Amen? I work for God. Amen. Praise God. And You know, all of the stresses and the pressures that can sometimes even, you know, I'm tempted to fall into. Sometimes I have given into those. You can ask Robin. She has too. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you can just get stressed out about some of these things. Not supposed to. But thank God we keep the things in check. If we find ourselves getting out of line, then we put it back into perspective. Keep it back here, right? Let our life be governed by the Word. Amen? Because the decisions that we make, it doesn't just affect us, it affects other people as well. Amen? You know, sometimes it can even feel like you're the president. You ever feel like that? All the stresses and pressures. You may not be running a country, but you are running your life, so to speak. You are the president of your life. And the decisions and things that you make or other people make affect you. And sometimes it can be a bit stressful, right? Amen? You know, thank God that we have a place that we can come. Thank God for church. Thank God that we can come to church, a church that ministers His Word. A church that can help us keep these things in check. Amen. Including me. Amen. On a continual basis. You know, the purpose of the church is to equip you with the Word so that we can live victoriously in these situations. And not have to yield to these situations. And not give in to fear. Not give in to these things, right? You know, God doesn't just require us to come to church just to take up space on His schedule or our schedule. Church is a place where we can come. Where we can come and be refreshed. Where we can come and be revived. Amen? Where we can come and be encouraged to continue pressing on in our faith. To not give up and to not quit. Till we see the manifestation of the promises of God in our lives. Amen? It is easy to be at peace or in peace while you are in an atmosphere such as that. Right? Sometimes you come to church, you feel all stressed out, you feel all of these things, and then it may take you a while during the process of the service, but eventually, hopefully, right, you can let these things fall by the wayside, and then you enter into this place of peace. Then when we leave, we need to carry that with us. When we leave a service, right? Amen? Has that ever happened to anybody? Amen. And so church, when you begin to think about it, church is a spiritual service station. Amen? It is a spiritual service station or gas station. It's designed specifically to equip us with peace. To equip us to be a success in life. Church, we can put it to you this way. Church is our seed bin. Did you hear what I said? It is our seed bin. It's where we come and where the Word of God, the seed of the Word is sown. And where seed has been sown previously, that seed gets watered. Every time we come. Every time you come into a service, either additional seed is being sown, new seed is being sown into your heart. Right? Or the seed that is there is getting watered. It's getting fertilized. Amen. Every time we come. Amen. That's encouraging. Yes. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? So thankful for church. Yes. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful to be a part of a church where the anointing is real. Where the anointing can just be so tangible at times every hair on your body just goes bing, sticks straight out. Amen. Where lives are changed and lives are transformed. Physically, yes, but minds are renewed. Marriages are restored. Bodies are healed. Oh, that's so wonderful when you think about that. It's wonderful to have a church family that we can call on even when we're not in a particular church service. That we can call so-and-so up. Maybe something's going on and you can get a word of encouragement. Or you know somebody that's going through something. Then you should pick up the phone. And you should call them. Or go by and see them, better yet. And give them a word of encouragement. Amen. Amen. This is not all the responsibility of the pastor. Every member is a minister. And everybody should be ministers of peace. Amen. And ministering peace and encouragement to everybody. Oh, thank God for our church family. Yeah. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now think about this. Our peace level, or our peace fuel gauge, it should always remain on full at all times, because there's always a drain that is being put on that. There's something that is always demanding. There's something that is always sucking on that thing. Amen. And so we have to do our best to keep that fuel gauge, our peace fuel gauge, to keep it topped off, to keep it on full all of the time, and not let that thing get down there to where it's getting close to the empty or even below the empty mark. You ever get your tank thing below empty? Or if you got one of those digital readouts, it gets to zero and you wonder how much further you can go. Don't push it. I've pushed it a few times. Anybody ever push it? Why? It gets annoying to stop for gas. Don't you just wish they would invent cars where you never ever had to stop for gas? It'd be cheaper for one thing, right? But it'd be so much more convenient where you never ever had to stop to do anything. You just keep right on going. Wouldn't that be cool? Somebody should invent a car like that. Amen. Maybe they would be, I don't know, nuclear powered or something. I don't know how they do those things. Praise God. But we should keep our spiritual tanks topped off all of the time. And you can begin to sense things in your life begin to get a little sluggish. And when things begin to get a little sluggish, then you need to start putting some more fuel in there. You need to start topping that thing off. You need to start filling that tank up. Something's going on somewhere. There's a big drain that's happening, right? So you need, you know, depending on the situation that's going on, then you need to increase the word level. You need to increase your time in the word. You need to increase your time in prayer. Amen? So that you can keep this thing up here where it belongs. Amen. Now, whether you realize this or not, church is not the only place where you can come and fill up your tank. Thank God we can fill it up here, right? Amen. But this isn't the only place that we have to come, or we, you know, that's available to us that we can come and have our peace tank refueled. We should be able to do this at home as well. Amen, because sometimes you may run out between a Sunday or a Wednesday, right? And sometimes you may not have enough in there to get you to Sunday, so then you're going to have to do something about it at home. Amen. Peace is available to us. Thank God for the peace that we can have here as a church family, but peace is available to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, continually, every single day. Peace is available to us in the midst of chaos. Peace is available to us in the midst of hell. Amen. It's available to us even tonight. Praise God. The Lord wants us to live in peace every single day of our lives. It is not His will for us to be frazzled. It's not His will for us to be all frustrated. It's not His will for us. Amen. Because we get so depleted and these things just get under our skin, then we just completely fly off the handle sometimes and step out of love. Amen. We should never let that happen. Look over at Isaiah chapter 26. You should know this one. I love this verse. Isaiah 26, verse 3 from the New Living Translation. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." You know, it matters what you think. It matters what's going on in your thought life. "You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Talking about the Lord. Amen. Whenever we find ourselves in a position where it seems like peace is being zapped, then we need to examine our thoughts. What are we thinking? Amen. Because this verse tells us here that if we will keep our minds on Him, fixed on Him, our thoughts on Him, right, then we'll remain in peace. Then if we're not in peace, that must simply mean that our thoughts are elsewhere. They're not on the Word. You ever had your thoughts somewhere else other than where they should be? Both hands, feet, everything else that we could put in the air. We all have. Amen? But whenever that happens, the cure for that is to put them back on Him. And to start trusting in Him. Start trusting in His Word. And by doing so, He keeps us in perfect peace. Amen. Oh, that's so good. This word peace is a very, very interesting word, isn't it? Amen. Shalom. He'll keep us in this perfect peace. He'll keep us complete. He'll keep us healthy. See, peace affects every area of your life, and the devil's after your peace.
Yes, that's right.
If he can get your peace, he's got your health.
Yeah.
If he can get your peace, he's got your relationships.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Peace means far more than just having a sense of calmness. Thank God for, you know, when we hear the word peace and, you know, calm and all of that. Well, that's great. But it includes that, but it's far more than that, right? When you are in peace spiritually, then it makes no difference if all hell breaks loose around you. All hell can break loose around you, and you still be in perfect peace in the midst of it. Go read Psalm 23. Amen? He prepares a table, right? Before us, right? For us in the midst of, you know, all these enemies. And all these things that are going on, right? Are you here? And so you will not lose your focus. You're focused on the Lord. You're focused on the Word. You're focused on the Word of peace. You're not focused on the hell, the turmoil, the frustration, the lack of peace, the symptoms, whatever it may be. He will keep you in perfect peace, perfect wholeness, because your mind is focused on the Word and what the Word has promised you in regards to your life. Amen? You know, as I finished watching that movie on that Cuban Missile Crisis of 62, I began to pray. I was praying in other tongues and just preparing myself for that evening service. And during that time of prayer, as I was just praying in the Spirit, the voice of the Lord came to me, and the voice of the Lord spoke this to me, and it shook me on the inside, and I've never forgot it the longest day that I live. I can remember the position where I was standing in that room when the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Beware of the peace thief. Beware of the peace thief. There is a thief that is after your peace, Wayne. Beware. Look out for him. Don't let him have it." See, when you are bewaring, then you know that he's out there, and you know that he's after something, and the potential is there for him to take something from you that belongs to you. But if you are looking out for him and you're protecting what's yours, then he doesn't have to take it. Amen? Oh, that's good. John 10:10 again. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It says, "A thief is only there to steal and kill and to destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." Amen. Wow. Can you see how important it is for us to guard our minds, guard our hearts, and to protect our peace? Amen. Maybe jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm going to say it anyway. We need to understand this in regards to peace. You know, faith has this position. Faith has the position of, I have peace. It belongs to me now. I am not trying to get peace. I am in this position of peace. And I am defending what already belongs to me. Amen. With all the hell and all the chaos that may be going on, I just got to get peace. No, you got peace. Just don't yield to that mess. Don't yield to the chaos. Amen. Faith says, I have it now. It belongs to me now. That is the reality here, right? And so then the primary thing that Satan is after in your life is your peace, or the word that is sown, peace seeds that are sown. He's after that. And so he comes to steal the word. Amen. We were having a conversation recently, actually, with Pastor Webb and talking about a few things. And he said this to me. He kind of put it in a different light than what I'd seen before. He says, it's always been about the seed. Always about the seed. Always about the seed. Always about the seed. The enemy wants to steal the seed. He wants to stop the seed. Amen. He has to do his best to stop that seed. He said one of the ways that he works is he works through, you see all these attacks on churches. And he said even things, we told him a little bit, you know, things that have gone on here in the last couple of years and things, you know, Robin's health and all of that. And he wasn't surprised. He said, this is nothing new. This has gone on all over. So it's not just Maui. So that kind of made me feel good in a really weird way, but I felt good about that. And that's when he said, you know what this is about? He said, this is all about the seed. The seed. The seed. Attacking pastors of churches. He said, that's about the seed. It's about the seed. Because the pastor is there to feed the flock. What is he doing? He's sowing seed. Sowing seed. He wants to stop the seed from going forth. Amen. Not glorifying the devil. Don't misunderstand me. This is just a fact of life, right? So he says, it's always been about the seed. I'm like, wow, yeah, it has. Well, you know, I knew it was about the word and all of that. But the light that he put it in, wow. Amen. Thank God we always win. Thank God we always come out on top. Thank God we beware of the peace thief. Praise God. Amen. We will never, ever have true and lasting peace in our lives without the word. It is the word that produces peace. It is the word of God, revelation of the word, that seed working in your heart, that seed, that word renewing your mind, that produces true peace and lasting peace, not a temporary peace. John chapter 1, you know this, but let's look at it. John chapter 1. Not John, Joshua. Excuse me. Joshua chapter 1. And verse 8. Joshua 1:8, it says, study this book of instruction. Well, it's a book of instruction, but it's also a book of seed, right? Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it, the instruction, the seed, day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is actually a very heavy-duty scripture when you begin to think about it. Amen. Because this scripture, it will produce peace. God's peace. The peace that passes all natural understanding in anybody's life. Right? Notice the very first sentence of this verse, which says, study this book of instruction. It says study it, right? Yeah. Study this book of instruction continually. In other words, what has been said here is this: the Bible shall not depart from before your eyes, from before your mouth, from your ears, from your speech, right? We should never, ever let a day go by where we don't spend time in the Word and where we don't take that Word and preach it to ourselves. Amen. You know, preaching isn't just for the world. You think preaching is just for the pastor or for the, you know, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to go into all the world and preach? No, we are to preach to the world, But you should learn how to preach to yourself. Amen. Amen. Preach to yourself. Do it in your car. When you're driving to work, do it when you're at home. Preach to yourself. Preach the word to yourself. Amen. You're healed and whole. You are in peace. This is what the Bible says. And you preach yourself up. What are you doing? Huh? You're beware of the peace thief. You're keeping him out. You're fixing your thoughts on him. Amen. No, the word says this. He has supplied. Amen. Preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. Thank God for messages that you can listen to. And that's wonderful. Amen. But nobody's voice is going to have as much impact in your life as the word of God coming out of your mouth. Amen. I can teach you the word. I can preach you the word. And that's wonderful. But you need to take that word and it's going to have more effect if you'll re-preach it to yourself. You'll listen to you, or you should. Amen. Better than you listen to anybody and anything else. Are you here today? Amen. The devil, he tells us things daily. So we need to preach to ourselves daily. Continually. Studying the book. Preaching the book to ourselves. He tells us things daily. He tells us things like, you're not going to make it today. This is the day. You're not going to make it today. Amen. You're not going to get out of this. You're going to go under. You'll never succeed. All of these things. Daily, the devil tells us things. Amen. Every single day, the enemy is speaking things. He's doing his best to steal the word. He's doing his best to steal your peace. And he is continually telling you things every single day. Some days it may seem like it's worse than others. But anytime my thought comes that doesn't line up with the word, that's the enemy at work. Whether it be blatant, you know, something to do with death or disease, or just something, you know, not quite as drastic. But he tells us things every single day. Amen. Well, how much more should we be allowing the word to tell us something every single day? The enemy's going to scream things at you. But the voice of the Spirit is going to be, it's going to be on the inside of you, in your spirit. That still, small voice. And sometimes if you aren't focused on the right things, all you hear is all the screaming and yelling around you. And you don't hear the voice of peace that is on the inside of you. So consequently, you yield to the distractions. You yield to the wrong voices. Amen? So when Satan's voice begins to get loud, you just let your voice get loud. No, Mr. Devil, the word says this. Quoting the word, then quote the word to yourself. Amen. Every day if you have to. Every day. We have to be willing to do that every day. You're not going to sleep on me, are you? Amen. Praise God. You know, when you think about this in the natural, and you sit, you come in contact with somebody and somebody's telling you a bunch of lies about somebody else or about a situation, and you know they're just flat out lying about it, you're not going to sit there and entertain that. You tell them they're lying, or you tell them it's not true, or you just get up and walk away from this person, you're not going to sit there. Well, why do we allow ourselves to sit there and take the devil's crap? Huh? May not sound all proper, but it's true. Amen. If he's telling you something, then he's lying. If his lips are moving, he's lying. Amen. We don't put up with it with people. We sure shouldn't put up with it for coming out of him. Praise God. This is good tonight. Amen. So this verse in Joshua goes on to say this. It says, meditate on it. The word. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Meditate on it day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. You're meditating on the word day and night, thinking about the word day and night. Your thoughts are fixed on him day and night, day and night, day and night. Why? Because all these other things are bombarding you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't meditate anything other than the word. We have to make sure that we meditate the right things. The meaning of this word meditate, it means to ponder. Meditate, the word, it means to ponder. It means to imagine. Amen. The devil tells you something. And you, when he begins to, see, words paint pictures, right? And these lies and these thoughts, they come to you. Then all of a sudden, you just don't hear this word or this lie. Then you get a graphic picture of what he just said, of this lie. You see yourself in a casket. You see yourself broke. You see yourself not being able to do something. You see yourself, you know. You see your kids out, you know, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. I mean, you get a picture of these things. Right? That's what meditation does. Amen. So meditate, it means to ponder. It means to imagine. It means to mutter. It means to mutter. It means to speak, in other words. So we're meditating on something. You're going to imagine it. You're going to see pictures of it. You're going to begin to talk it. One of the ways that we talk the wrong things is we begin to complain. See, when you're complaining about a situation, when you're complaining, what are you doing? That means that your thoughts are in the wrong place and you're meditating on the wrong things. So you're going to begin to mutter. You're going to begin to allow these things to come out of you. Amen? You can tell what somebody's meditating on by the words they speak, by the words that come out of their mouth. It means this. When we talk about meditating the word, it means to study. It means to talk. It means to utter. To study, talk, and utter. Meditation isn't just limited to sitting on the floor, you know, Indian style, or like, you know, some people do in parts of this island, right? With your eyes closed and you get all this somber look and, you know, om and all of this stuff that they do. You know, meditation didn't start with the New Age. Meditation comes from God. The New Age takes these things, takes the truth of the word, and it begins to twist it and pervert it and use it in the wrong way. Amen? And so meditation is a principle that God established. We need to understand that. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. Has somebody ever told you anything that maybe upset you? If you lived here on the planet, then that has happened to you, guaranteed. If it has not happened to you, then you must not be real. Right? They told you something, it upset you, you know. But then maybe you didn't really say that much about it initially. But after a while, you know, you begin to rehearse this thing. You go back. It's a funny thing about the mind. You can replay that conversation over and over again. And then you begin to meditate on that. Then you begin to think about that. Even though you were a little bit upset at the beginning, but now, 2 hours later, you're fit to be tied. Why? Because you have been meditating. Amen. Because you have been muttering. because you have been uttering, because you have been talking, because you have been going over this thing over and over and over and over and over till it gets huge. What's going on here? Peace thief. Peace thief. Devil's after your peace. And it looks like he's winning. Amen. Because he's got you meditating on something that you have no business meditating on. Hello? We've all done that. We meditate on the words that are spoken to us. Good and bad. Negative and positive. Then we begin to repeat these words and speak these words over, this conversation over and over continually. So we have to be careful here. When we do that, that's meditation. So when we read Joshua 1:8, where it talks about, you know, meditating the word, we know how to meditate. Meditation's not hard. It's not hard at all. You do it daily. Amen. You do it every single day of your life. But we've had it working for us in reverse. Or we've been meditating the wrong things instead of meditating the word. Godly meditation will always work for you, not against you. Praise God for that. Amen. Godly meditation, meditating on the word, that helps me. Amen. But if I'm meditating on another word other than God, that's not going to help me. We have to make sure that we are meditating on the right words. The right things that are going on in us. Amen? Then speak aloud those promises. Mutter those promises. Say those things to us continually. Loud enough that the devil hears it. Joshua goes on to say, meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. You will obey the word when you meditate the word. The reason why we don't obey the word, the reason why we don't obey the command of love, is because we stop meditating on it. If you want to know how to obey God, then just meditate on the word. And the more that you meditate the word, the more you'll obey the word. And the reason why people don't obey the word and they live contrary to the word is because they don't meditate it. So that's the key. Meditation is huge. What we meditate on every day. Amen. Day and night. You have to make a conscious effort to meditate the word and obey the word. Amen. When all of this is going on. You know, so it's easy to obey God. It's easy to do the right things. It's easy to say the right things when nothing is going on. But when something's going on that's contrary to that, right? That's when you really need to meditate. That's when you really need to utter the word and meditate the word and speak the word. And by doing so, then you will obey what the word says in that situation. Then you will walk in love in this situation. And you will not yield yourself and to fall into this trap. Right? Beware of the peace thief. Praise God. So we got to make a conscious effort of these things. Especially when it's not convenient. You know, it's easy to walk in love when it's convenient. Right? It's easy to meditate the word when it's convenient. When you're all happy. And it looks like everything is okay. Then I can really, you know, my prayer time is good. My word is good. You know, meditating the word, everything is good. If something goes off. You know, your first natural reaction a lot of times is not, let's go get this. You know, you want to go punch somebody. You want to go tell somebody off. Right? Am I the only one that's ever felt that? It's the Eva shaking her head over there. She's never punched you, right, George? You would tell me if she ever punched you, right? Okay, just want to make sure. Just messing. Amen. When we meditate, whatever it is that we are meditating on, that's what we're going to prosper in. Right? Only then, it says, will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This scripture, this will either work for you or against you. Meditation will work for you, against you. Prosperity, prospering in what you're meditating on, will work for you or against you. Which way is it going to go? So you're going to prosper one way or the other. Amen. You can prosper on the negative side. You can prosper in lack of peace. You can prosper in being angry. You can prosper. Or move forward. That's what prosper means. Prosper means to go a certain direction. Prosper means to move forward or to succeed. You can succeed in death. I would much rather succeed in life. Amen. 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 So whatever it is that we're meditating on, that's what we're going to obey. And what we obey, that's what we're going to prosper. Oh, this is so important, isn't it? I want to prosper the right way. What about you? Amen. We're a prosperous church. Yes. According to the word, prospering by the word, right? Yes. Amen. 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 Oh, thank God for that. Now, let's read this again. Isaiah 26:3. I'll wind up here in just a second. Isaiah 26:3. I love this verse. You will keep him. What's it say? You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Satan's your enemy. He is our arch enemy. He's out to steal your peace. Amen. And he's out to replace it with disease. He's out to replace it with poverty and lack. He's out to replace it with all of these things. And so we have to guard this continually. Now, one of the ways that Satan comes and the way that he accomplishes this is to cause you to feel so overwhelmed at times. Amen. Seems like all of these things happen all at one time. And they all happen all at one time for a reason. It would be better if we could kind of like spread the problems out, wouldn't it? If we could choose how and when we had problems, if we could, right? And we don't want problems, but if we could choose, then we would choose, well, let's just do this one right now, and then after a while we can do this one, and then we can do that one just a little bit at a time. But no, the devil doesn't work that way, does he? He brings everything all at once, caving down on us, right? To pressure us out, Michael, so that we can feel so overwhelmed with the situation, so that he can steal our peace. Amen. He wants you overwhelmed. Because if you're overwhelmed, then that means your peace gauge is way down here, E, and then going below. Got you right where he wants you. Now, sometimes we may all feel overwhelmed, but we don't have to yield to that. Then you learn how to take all of these problems that have come all at once. Then you begin to take them a little bit at a time. And not allow them to become so overwhelming. It's all going to get sorted out.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Amen. I mean, tomorrow I'm going to be 45. Now think about in the 45 years of my life, sometimes I've felt quite overwhelmed. There's been all kinds of problems, and I've never known how some of these things were going to get worked out. But I'm here today. Something must have got worked out.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. And I'm going to be here tomorrow. And the day after that, and the day after that, whatever comes, It all gets sorted out somehow, some way. It's never the end until we say it's the end. Amen. Brother Copeland said something once. He said this years ago, and I'll never forget it. He said, learn to separate the pressure from the problem. Learn to separate the pressure from the problem. Problems come. Right? Because we live here. So there's problems. But learn to separate the pressure of that. The pressure from the problem. Take the pressure off. Yes, the problem's real. Yes, this is what's going on. Yes, that's the reality of it. But take the pressure off. Because there's nothing that you can do about it anyway. We get in there and try to do something about it, and we screw it up a lot of the times. How about we just meditate the word? How about we pray in other tongues? How about we ask the Lord to help us? How about we ask the Lord to show us? Amen. Separate the pressure of this thing. Get rid of the pressure. And when you get rid of the pressure, you can get rid of the fear. You get rid of the fear, then you can get rid of all of these things that's hindering you from experiencing the victory in it. Amen. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Amen. Such a, you know, it's pretty wild. You know, we get to talk to a lot of these pastors and ministers and ones that we're friends with. And so thankful, you know, for this past week that we had the opportunity to spend with the Webbs. And they've been through some things. Every minister has been through some things. Every church has been through some things. Man, every pastor's got stories. Man, they could tell you till Jesus comes. Everybody. But what's amazed me, I've noticed this. I've looked at pastors that have been, you know, they pastored for 30 years or even longer than that, in 40 years. I look at some of these pastors and they're telling me about some of these experiences and some of these things that they've gone through. And I just look at them and they're just full of peace. Because they've come through these things, even though they may be currently facing things. But they've learned how to handle these situations where they don't allow it to get at them. After 30 years, we should learn something. Amen. Amen. Still standing. Still standing. Amen. Then you go back. I can reflect on my own life. You go back, you know, to the very, very beginning of things and stuff. And then you're like, oh my gosh, you know. Hello? Think about your own life. Amen? Wilfred, there's probably things that bothered you 30, 40, maybe even 50 years ago that don't even bother you today. Isn't that true? Yep. Isn't that wild? Yeah. We've learned, hadn't we? We ought to learn something in life, shouldn't we? Amen. Amen. Protect our peace. Yeah. Separate the pressure from the problem. Know that we will always win, regardless of what happens. Amen? We are always victorious. We guard our peace, guard our hearts, keep our thoughts where they should be, keep our lives headed the right direction. Beware of the peace thief. Not going to let the devil steal anything from me. Amen? Well, we'll stop here. If I go on any further, then we're going to be here a while longer, and I'm going to stop here. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us, for encouraging us, for helping us to grow. Father, I pray that as your word brought illumination tonight, thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace for those to get back on track that have been off track. The grace to separate the pressure from the problem. The grace to meditate the word. The grace to focus on what you say and not what the devil says. Thank you, Father, for it.